And we will continue to number 14, fall events in the parks. Welcome back, sir.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, Jeff Van Meteren, Parks and Rec Division Director. Just want to first thank our staff in the hills here. Dana, Matt, Shannon, and many, many others for the two huge events they had this year, the 25th anniversary and the 58th roundup. So just let's give them a little round of applause. They're pretty humble. They spend a lot of hours at those things and a lot of prep time. So anyway, let's talk about events coming up. Item number 14, in your books, you all have a list of some of the things that we have going on here this fall. You know, just a reminder, we have really three marketing priorities in our Parks Division this fall. One was increasing our camping. Second, increasing our lodging use, and then last, day use and events. And that's what really these speak to. But these events actually impact all three of those priorities. And we've got just a huge variety, starting with our new park entrance license taking off here in October 1. And you'll see pretty soon our sales have been great. So we're really excited about that. Got all kinds of events. We've got an event we formulated after Secretary Roebling, Fireside Flannels. You wear your flannel shirt, you come there, and you eat as many s'mores as you want. So that's the first one we're going to do. And it's a new event this year. We got the fort's always doing some stuff. We'll get in some pictures here pretty soon. But we got fall hikes, nature crafts. Further down in November, we got a murder mystery at the fort again, some campfire cooking, and then Christmas at the Adams Homestead. So we'll talk more about those to come. But anyway, if I can have you bring up our PowerPoint here, Chris. Want to specifically talk about our Halloween events. A lot of you might be asking, why are we doing Halloween events in parks? You know, there's three reasons for those in my mind. One is it's just a great way to get people out to our parks. That's obviously, it speaks to our marketing priorities. It's why we're doing those things. But it's also a way for many of our parks to collaborate with their local communities. I took my four grandkids to our event at Big Sioux last year, and there were over 4,100 people that walked through there, and all the candy was donated by local groups. They had the police from Brandon there handing out candy. It's a great way for our parks to kind of collaborate with the local communities. And then the last item I think of is it just gives our staff the opportunity to get a little creative. Some of their personalities come out in some of these events. So you'll see that as we roll through here. Chris, were you going to give me the clicker or are you going to run that?
All right. Just point it at next computer.
All right. It's technology. So, so here's the first event. Fort Sisseton Historic. These are all, there's 10 different Halloween or fall type festival or events we're going to talk about here. And this is the first one, Fort Sisseton Historic State Park. Great place for a Halloween event. Scary place. I mean, what's better than being outside at night and scaring the heck out of people? Isn't that what we all live for at times? So anyway, this event last year hosted 300 people. Event dates for this are October 13th and 14th this year. New event. This is the one I talked about. Can't see the words up at the top there. Can you shrink that down, Nick? There we go. Oops, I accidentally bumped it. Fireside Flannels. And s'mores. They left that off, but we're gonna feed s'mores. You know, how many kids have never had a s'more in their life? Got to teach them the value of a s'more. So this is a new event. Don't know how it'll go over, but anxious to try it. So next event, this is the second year for this event, Trunk or Treat at Lewis and Clark Recreation Area. Last year they hosted right around 200 people. So this again is the same week in October 14th. Next event is one of our more traditional events, the Halloween hike at Custer State Park. This year's theme is Super Wildlife Bros. Instead of Mario Bros, it's Wildlife Bros. Kids are encouraged, and people are encouraged to, you don't have to be a kid, you can dress up as an adult too, to dress up as an animal and show up in that way. And then staff has fun with it, so it's just their creative juices coming out of there. Next event is the Richmond Forest Drive Fright Night. Hay rides, they do different stops throughout the park here. Get to my notes here. And this is one that had over 400 participants last year. Then the next one is the one I talked about, was the Big Sioux. This one's been going on for several years. Big Sioux trick-or-treat trails. They basically walk kids and parents through a loop in the park. And I don't know, there must have been, I mean, there was people that showed up there in their own personal campers, bought candy themselves and were doling that out to over 4,000 people. I watched the police officers go in and out of there several times because they ran out of candy. Maybe they just wanted to use their lights and sirens, I don't know, but it was kind of fun. They were having a great time. And then Mortimer's Monstrous Halloween at Oakwood Lake State Park. So we've got these all over the place too. Kind of spread them out throughout the communities. This one involves a scavenger hunt, face painting, trolley rides, campfires, games, coloring corners, and trick-or-treatings. Over 448 participants last year. Then this is another new event. This is the Spooktacular at the Spillway at North Point Recreation Area. First time we'll ever host this event. They're working with the Corps of Engineers, a partner in this one. So. And then the Halloween Hobble at Pelican Lake Recreation Area. I believe this one is another new event. I'll look at my notes here. Yes, it is. This is going to involve some hikes, fall hikes and crafts at Hartford Beach State Park and Pelican. So they're kind of doing it jointly, if you would. And then the last one I want to speak about is the Laframboy Island Nature. This is another big event. This one has gone on for quite a while. They took a pause because of COVID. Last time they hosted this, they had over 1,700, almost 1,800 people go to this as well. Again, this is a very community-based one. They go into town, they get businesses to sponsor the candy and prizes and that kind of stuff, and it really works out well. A lot of great partnerships with these kind of events and wonderful ways to kind of bring our parks in with the communities. Kind of speaking to your question earlier to Dana, Commissioner Bees, about, you know, businesses and that and how our parks affect our businesses and that. And we just want to strive to create those partnerships. So this is a great tool to do that. So with that, any questions for I? Move into our reports.
Any questions? I do have one for you. I'm looking at these, and how many of them are actual campgrounds? I know some of them are not, but there's a few in here that are campgrounds.
Well, of the 10 events, Madam Chair, Fort Sisseton has a campground. Good Earth does not. Lewis and Clark has a campground. Custer, Richmond, Big Sioux, Oakwood, North Point, Pelican. And then Laframboy don't. So two out of the eight are not campgrounds.
So my question is, I know the department is putting a bigger emphasis on the shoulder season, are we seeing more campers now staying so they can partake in these Halloween weekends?
Yes, Madam Chair. I actually witnessed that last year at Big Sioux. It just surprised me. I mean, not only were they coming to camp to participate in the event, they also bought their own candy to share it with the campers or the people that came to the event, which is pretty incredible. So, yeah, we're trying to reach a broad spectrum of people, and these crazy different ideas sometimes draw in different people that you wouldn't normally see. great way to bring kids out to the park, especially on nice fall weekends.
Well, I applaud these efforts. I've attended a few of them, and the community really gets involved. They decorate their campers. They have contests to see who has the best decorated camper. And the ones that I have attended are great community events. So I applaud you guys for continuing and lifting this up. So
thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Well, you can remain in the hot seat for the next item, number 15.
Okay. If you turn to items 15 in your books there, we'll speak about our reporting numbers. Had a good September, kind of on track with last year. We had five weekends in September. Unfortunately, the fourth weekend was kind of a downer with some rain, which is a great thing for the state. But it certainly has an impact on our camping. Lost a couple thousand units over that weekend that we normally would have saw. But we're feeling good about our camping. You know, as we go into October with these events, we're really hopeful that between these events and maybe marketing towards hunters and fishermen, we can really maintain that use in the fall. You know, we've actually surpassed our numbers for last year with our lodges. We'd set goals for our lodging units all across the state, and as of October 3rd, we were 209 units over last year's total number. So we still have 3 months to go. So we're going to keep pushing that. Hopefully can hit our target number there. Visitations, that report is not in here. We're still working through the numbers and finalizing that, but they're kind of tracking with the camping units. It's running about the same as last year. So if you turn to the bar graph there, that really gives you a good kind of image of how things are tracking. So this year is the red line. Last year was the green line. You can see we're really following pretty close with last year's numbers. So, you know, the gray bar represents a monthly high. The blue is kind of the average. So you can see we're ahead of the average over the last 12 years, somewhere about in the middle between the average and the monthly high for that month. So, again, hoping with our marketing efforts we can continue the improvements in our numbers and really getting as many folks into our campgrounds as possible. We're starting to do some individual marketing. I was talking to the manager down at Angostura yesterday, and he's working with April Larson and with all the deer license holders for Fall River County down there. They'll get sent a special mailer. They need lodging, you know, and so we're trying some of those things. So it's too early to report if we're having any success with that, but I know Nick and the communication staff are doing some of the same things with fishermen and hunters in other parts of the state too. So we're really excited to you know, see if that makes a difference, if they bite on some of those things. And maybe, you know, on the flip side, too, if they come into our parks, maybe they'll buy a fishing license while they're there, too. We have great fishing opportunities throughout our parks. So if you turn to page 24, the revenue side of things, you can see we had a fantastic month of September with a 21% increase in our permit sales. Really good month. Hopefully we can continue that in October. As we go into the fall, we really want to push our new park entrance license sales that went into effect here the 1st of October, especially with Christmas gifts. Wonderful, practical gift. So if any of you are looking to give your relatives or your kids gifts, keep our park entrance licenses in mind. So a little sales pitch there. We'll even give you the second one for half price. How's that sound? Okay. All right. You can see overall, year to date, our you know, we've done a good job of maintaining our permit sales. We're up 3% year to date with our park license sales. I think a lot of that has to do with our marketing. We're finally starting to see some reap some rewards for our efforts there. we want to continue that, as I said, and hopefully really gain on that. We've already started our plan of attack for FY or calendar year 24. We're going to have a fishing theme for next year. You got a little bit of a preview, too, in our PowerPoint there. One of the taglines we're going to use is "See Yourself in Our State Parks." But we're going to incorporate fishing into all. Like this year, we used Sasquatch. So next year, we're going to come up with some kind of a man-eating fish or something like that. I don't know. We haven't figured that out yet. But we're going to talk about fish. Can't be a man-eating fish because we don't have those, right, Tom? Okay. But we'll come up with something. We have some pretty creative, clever people in our department. So, but we're excited about that. You know, camping, that's something that we really want to focus on for next year. How do we get those numbers? How do we maintain those numbers and get more people into our campgrounds? You know, we had a tough spring this year, and we just never really kind of quite caught up to that, but the rest of the year was pretty decent, so we want to continue working on that and make some strides towards doing that. So I guess with that, I'd take any questions.
Any questions from the commission? Commissioner Cole.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Jeff, I've got three questions all into one here. I just want to make sure these are correct. Is the picnic reservation numbers correct? Going way at the bottom of the page 24, did they really double?
Commissioner Cole, I'm going to say they did.
Okay, I mean, yeah. I was waiting for you to tell me, no, there was an error in the past one or something, so that you think that's...
Oh, no, I think that those are accurate.
Okay, yeah. And then the other question up above it, the motor coach permits. A couple questions on that. I mean, they went up, obviously, substantially. Mm-hmm. But where are predominantly most of those? Are they out in the hills here?
They are.
Almost. Is there anything east of the hills?
I might phone a friend in Matt here.
You can check out.
But I would guess that 90, there may be some up at Fort Sisseton. Okay. But the vast majority, 95% of them are in the Black Hills.
So do you have a good, I mean, I'm... The picnic thing kind of blows my mind. Was that statewide?
Those numbers are statewide.
No, but I mean, do you know, was the growth statewide?
We can find that out, Commissioner Cole. Yeah, I couldn't tell you right now off the top of my head, yeah. But we find that out.
What I'm trying to get at is, I mean, when you look at all the numbers that we have, the big numbers don't change much. The percentages are small. You see 100-some% difference, it's always a small campground with 10 camp pads or something. But when you look at these, I just wonder what that's telling us, you know, especially the motor coaches. And, of course, then the day passes, everything seems to be commensurate to that. But what's driving that, but yet, like, the camping is down a little bit? Is it we didn't make up? Is it a different use going on?
Madam Chair, Commissioner Cole, great questions. I wish I could give you the 6 answers as to why that is. But, you know... we put a lot of emphasis on day use. We continue to put a lot of emphasis on day use, trying to tell people that we're more than just campgrounds. We have disc golf. We have in some parks, we have ranges, shooting ranges. We have picnic facilities. We have hiking trails, swim beaches. We're trying to get that word out there, and hopefully we're seeing some of that. I can't give you a specific reason. You know, a lot of our numbers, just like on the wildlife side, are dictated by the weather at times. We had a fairly decent summer. The spring wasn't so good to us. But, you know, we're going to try to do some survey work and maybe hone in on some of those things. It's one of our goals is to better understand our users and what they want in our parks and what we don't have or what would draw them out to our parks. So,
anyway. Just one quick follow-up, if I can. You didn't, one of the things I forgot to ask you didn't build a whole bunch of new picnic shelters anywhere. Okay. So it's more people coming to the... Okay. Just wanted to make sure.
No, we have not. You know... Maybe to some degree, I know I've seen this in Yankton, but there are we're seeing a lot more Hispanic people, and they really love the picnic shelters. They're very family-oriented. That's a cool thing. Really love to see that. Maybe that's coming back. Maybe people are using us for family get-togethers, birthday parties. Let's celebrate Grandpa Day or whatever, you know, type of thing. And those are all good stuff. So there is a lot more room for growth there. I will tell you that on picnic shelters. A lot of them sit empty, and we want to change that. So,
Jeff, one question, kind of maybe along those lines. The one-day special event, there's a 286% change. What is that? What does that include?
So, Madam Chair, the one-day special event license is designed for groups that come in and use our park for a specific event that's non-competitive in nature, weddings, picnic, corporate picnics. It's usually a group. I'll give you a couple of examples. The wedding example, they're there just for that event. It's kind of a semi-private event. They're really not there to go swimming or fishing or anything else. So we give them a reduction on that fee, but yet they can come in and use our park facility. At the full price, they probably wouldn't do that. They'd go somewhere else. So that's kind of the thought behind that. Another thing we'll see from time to time is one of the manufacturing plants might have a corporate picnic of 500 people, their employees. Again, they probably wouldn't have it in our park if they had to pay the full fee event. It's a great way not only to get them in the park, but then they can also, while they're there for that period of time, which is pretty limited usually, they can kind of see what we all have in our parks. It's kind of like the fourth day park license passes that we hand out to fourth graders. You know, they go home, the first thing they do to mom and dad is they say, here's what I got, I want to go out to the park, you know. And sometimes mom and dad have never been to a park before, and it's a great tool to get them in the park and see what we have. And it's money well spent. So.
And then one more question, and maybe it's for Nick. You had mentioned that you're starting to see some positive movement. You're trying some new or different things with the marketing approach. Can you give me an idea of some new stuff you guys have tried that has shown success?
Yes, Nick Harrington, Communications Manager. Jeff made really good reference to it. One thing that what we are looking to do is really be cohesive. We have a lot of parks out there across the state. We have our main game, fish, and parks, what we do through social media, through email. How do we keep that cohesive on the local level, but also with what we're trying to do statewide and region-wide and now hopefully nationwide as well? So that's where that See For Yourself branding came through. What we did, we designed these specific graphics that they can go and the parks can utilize these. It makes the park manager's jobs easy because they don't have to come up with that content. They don't have to do that themselves. That's all made for them. They can plug that in, and then it's everything top to bottom. So we're really being more cohesive on the branding front. The other thing that we're now looking to do is we're really to take this with some paid approaches and move forward. Jeff made some reference to that for 2024, is looking at ways to really reach those next level audiences. We do really good with our dedicated park users. We have our weekly newsletters throughout the summer. We'll reach out to hunters and anglers and say, hey, stay in our modern lodges. Be sure to camp. We're working on fishing for campers too. We do really well with the folks we have, but it's those folks that might not interact with our parks, that might not have bought a license. That's where we really can see the most growth and getting those folks into the park, whether that's for day use, whether that's for camping, or whether that's for modern lodging. I think of myself when I think of modern lodges. Somewhere I want to go fish, I want to tow my boat, I don't tow a camper. So there's a lot of growth opportunity there. And how we're going to do that is we're still going to use that See For Yourself branding, so we just make our message that much more powerful. We give it some extra oomph. And again, the goal that we have moving forward into 2024 is to reach those audiences that we aren't tapping right now.
Madam Chair, if I can add to that, stay right here, Nick. You know, we know what we have to market. We do. We don't have to ask anybody what that is. But outside of our current users, campers, hunters, fishermen, how do we get to those other people? That is the challenge. And one of the cool things with social media is you can start to measure click rates and people, how many times they flipped a page and things like that, where with radio and newspaper, you couldn't do that. You didn't know. So there is some really cool stuff with that we're going to be working on. So hopefully next year we can start to share some of those numbers with you.
Very good. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions for Director Van Meteren before we move on, or comments? Good report. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you, ma'am.